Lord, for that word, the word of life which fires us, speaks to our hearts and sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord of the word, receive your people's praise. Well, God is always faithful to his word. We're at the last session of our preaching series on 2 Chronicles, and before us is a lot of new names and historical circumstances. Rest assured that this is not going to be a university lecture, a history lesson from a complex set of political alliances and circumstances. Now, at the end of this few minutes, we will see how God has been and will continue to be faithful to his word. Having said that, for context, we have to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Here, God makes a covenant with David. God says that a son of David will sit on the throne over Israel forever and be the remedy for God's people. God's given this promise, and we've been following that promise all the way through 2 Chronicles. Last week at the children's, at the 11 o'clock service, the children helped us with an illustration of the recurring theme in 2 Chronicles, that bad leaders took the nation away from the word of God and allowed other gods to infiltrate the worship of the nation, building high places, monuments, in honor of idols. Then a good leader would come along, destroy these high places, and bring the people back to the Lord. 2 Chronicles has been a roller coaster of good and bad church and national leadership. But last week, we learned lessons from Josiah, who reformed the nation through obedience to the book of the law that had been rediscovered. Because Josiah was a king who repented, was obedient and faithful to the Lord, God had said to him in 2 Kings 20, it said to him, I'm not going to bring judgment upon Judah until after you have died, Josiah. Well, here we are at the start of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and Josiah is indeed dead, and judgment is coming because God is always faithful to his word. Well, our passage today speaks of four kings of Judah and describes their circumstances. Jehoahaz in verses 2 to 4, Jehoiakim in verses 5 to 8, Jehoiachin in verses 9 and 10, and Zedekiah in verses 11 to 14. It captures some of the historical circumstances, but there's much, much more. Interestingly, I had to be in London for a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and much of the history in the books of Kings and Chronicles can be seen in the British Museum in room 55. I make this point just to emphasize that 2 Chronicles records the accepted history of real people in real time. We know that, didn't we? But there you go. There is a thread, though, that connects all of the four kings mentioned in the passage. So, Jehoahaz, we have to be careful here because there are actually three Jehoahazes in the Bible. This one is the king of Judah. And 2 Kings 23 tells us that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we have Jehoiakim. Same old, same old. 2 Kings 23, 37. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his predecessors had done. Because the nation failed to live by God's word and continued in unrepentance, disobedience, and unfaithfulness, God remained faithful to his word by sending invading armies to capture and enslave them. And as we've seen in our reading from verse 6 today, Jehoiakim was taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, who put him in chains and carted him off into exile in Babylon. And then we have Jehoiakim. Guess what? You'll be picking up the thread by now. Guess what? Verse 9. Jehoiakim did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Some of Jehoiakim's story is a mystery to us. It's another complete sermon on its own, because the tragedy that befell Jehoiakim was predicted by the prophet Jeremiah. Jehoiakim's story on its own is a picture of God's judgment and of God's grace at the same time as God being faithful to his word. God said in Jeremiah 22:24 that Jehoiakim would be removed from the throne to be taken to Babylon, where he would die. Verses 26 and 27. But the curse upon Jehoiakim went deeper than just his deposition and exile. We read in Jeremiah 22:30. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as if childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah. So, the line of kings from David's family could have ended with Jehoiakim. But it didn't, because God was faithful to his word. What we see in the full story of Jehoiakim is God's righteous judgment, as well as his merciful grace. And then finally, there's Zedekiah, another complete character study sermon on its own. But verse 12. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. If God is faithful to his word, and the people continue in unrepentant, disobedient, unfaithfulness, and continue to do evil in the sight of the Lord, what do we expect God to do if he is to be faithful to his word? Well, bring judgment, of course. And that's what we see in verses 15 to 20. Patient God, faithful to his word, sent messengers, not just one or two, but many messengers through the ages. The people mocked those messengers of God. The people despised God's word. The people scoffed until there was no remedy. No remedy means no hope, no healing in some translations. So God's awful judgment came through the unforgiving Babylonians. Well, what a bad place that would be to conclude 2 Chronicles. But it doesn't end there, because 2 Chronicles is a book of hope, a book of assurance that a king will arise from the house of David to be the remedy, to heal the land. Why? Because God is always faithful to his word. The whole of our preaching series has been driving us towards King Jesus. One theologian that I read wrote this: Chronicles exists essentially as a book of hope, grounded on the grace of our sovereign. Chronicles shows that history is a process, not of disintegration, but of sifting, of selection, and of development, and of hope. Judgment and trials came to a nation that rejected the word of God. But for God's people, it was hope, assurance, assurance that another king would arise who would be the remedy, the remedy for the healing of the nations, King Jesus. All this talk, though, of God's faithfulness to his word and judgment might make us uncomfortable if we look at the UK today and spot the elephant in the room, which is that our own nation has drifted away from God. The Lord has sent many messengers, and the nation has mocked. The nation has despised God's word. The nation has scoffed at the Bible. But I remember from 1 Corinthians 4, which is perhaps my paraphrase, that we look at these things, and though we might be hard pressed on every side, we're not crushed. And we look at these things and it might leave us perplexed, but not in despair. And all this because our hope, assurance, is in King Jesus, whom 2 Chronicles points us to at every turn. It may be that you're in here today thinking, well, that's not where I am. I'll take my chances without Jesus. I was reading of a bizarre art installation in America in the 1980s. You know, it was a chair fixed to a shotgun. It was to be viewed by sitting in a chair and looking directly into the gun barrel. The gun was loaded and set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. The amazing thing was that people queued for miles to sit and stare into that gun barrel. They all knew that it could go off at point blank range at any moment, but they were gambling that the fatal blast wouldn't happen during their few seconds in the chair. I wonder, could you be sitting in that chair today, betting that the gun won't go off in your face? Unless you have put your trust in Christ, you're playing with your eternal destiny. God is patient. But if you continue to reject his word, judgment is certain. I would urge you now, gently, tenderly, but earnestly and in love, to put your trust in Jesus. Because God is always faithful to his word. What has God blessed us with in 2 Chronicles? He's blessed us with the knowledge that God is always faithful to his word. 2 Chronicles has been appointed towards Jesus, the good king, who will reign forever and in whom we can trust. Amen.